Scott, you covered Senator John McCain's presidential campaigns in 2000 and 2008. What was he like?
Well, you know, he had a real independent streak in those days. He was known as kind of the Republican maverick, particularly in 2000. He was up against George W. Bush, the Texas governor, and Bush had all of the Republican Party's establishment support. So what McCain did was he was the first national candidate to use the internet to raise money. Bush had all the $1,000 contributors and the party establishment. And so McCain decided that he would go out. He put together something called the Straight Talk Express, which was basically his campaign bus. And he invited all the reporters on. And it didn't matter if you were from the Washington Post or the Providence Journal, like I was in those days. He would allow anyone to come on. And it was kind of like being in college and having a late night bull session. He would answer any questions. He had a lot of self-deprecating humor. He used to talk about his time as a prisoner of war in the Hanoi Hilton. You know, I was tied up there for a few years. He was candid. In 2008, he actually held 114 town meetings across the state of New Hampshire. You know, in New Hampshire, you run for president like you're running for state rep or governor. And McCain was really good at this stuff. In the cold nights, these sweaty high school gyms, he would sit there and take questions all night from anyone who wanted to ask, the town librarian, the teacher, the snowplow driver, and of course, the town crank.
He's being remembered as a Republican with an independent streak, but he became more conservative, especially while he was running for president.
Yes, he did in 2008. The party got more conservative, I think. And also, don't forget, John McCain represented a fairly conservative state in Arizona, and he had primary challenges from the right. And McCain had some moderate streaks. And don't forget, he was a military guy, and he did not really believe in the total individualism of or libertarianism of the Republican Party. He believed you had to take care of people, particularly veterans, health care. He was a very strong supporter, frankly, of a strong national government and a strong defense.
Now, McCain, like Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, famously served in the Vietnam War. He was also best known, perhaps, as a prisoner of war during that war. How did this experience and his war experiences more generally shape his political career?
It really shaped his devotion to country. You have to understand something about John McCain. His father and his grandfather were both four-star admirals. I mean, this was steeped in him, patriotism, serving the country. He always believed throughout his whole career that you had to serve something larger than yourself. And he really enjoyed the Senate. He enjoyed the camaraderie. He was a fun guy. He was the guy you wanted to have a beer with.
Now, Scott, you say that right up until the end, McCain could be unpredictable. What do you mean by that?
Well, only have to take a look, I think, at the Obamacare vote. Right towards the end of his life, actually, he was the one senator who made sure that President Trump could not pass what he wanted to do, which was repeal the Obamacare Affordable Care Act. And McCain almost relished the fact that he was the guy who did it.
He seemed to have good relationships with, even with Democrats from New England, people like Jack Reed, the senator from Rhode Island, and the delegation from Massachusetts, too.
Yes, he really did. He was very close to Ted Kennedy in a very surprising way. They didn't agree on much, but as Ted Kennedy's widow, Victoria Kennedy, said over the weekend, you know, they got along because McCain was kind of a happy warrior. He would negotiate with people. He would work by in a bipartisan way. Jack Reed was probably the New England person who was closest to him in his later years because Reed, of course, is the ranking Democrat on the Armed Services Committee. And there you have McCain, who was the chairman of the committee, being the Republican when they took over the Senate. And yet Reed said, you know, they would go to the Army-Navy game. And in a polarized country, McCain told him it's very important that the two of us, one a West Point grad, one an Annapolis grad, one a Democrat, the other a Republican, that we sit together to show people that there is bipartisanship. They spent half the game on the Army side of the field in their cheering section, and then at halftime went over to the Navy side of the field. And that's kind of the way he was.
Now, with McCain's passing, are there other Republicans who are carrying on this legacy of bipartisanship?
There really aren't many. The interesting thing is, with McCain gone on armed services and Bob Corker, the head of the Foreign Relations Committee, Republican, you're going to lose two of the more moderate critics, frankly, of President Trump on these two very important committees in the Senate.
What does that mean then for delegations from blue states like Rhode Island and Massachusetts?
It's going to be interesting to see. A lot of it will depend, frankly, on what happens in the midterm elections. In November, do the Republicans keep the Senate? Do they keep the House? And that's going to shape a whole lot of policy, both foreign policy and domestic policy.
Now, McCain did not get along with President Trump. Why was that?
Well, the easy thing to say is, you know, Trump very famously disparaged his time as a prisoner of war, saying that, you know, he doesn't like people who get captured. But I think it goes much deeper than that. If you knew McCain and you've read his books, and I have, you find out McCain doesn't really respect people like Donald Trump. He never thought that the biggest thing in life was to go out there and get as rich as you could and just be in your own interest or your own celebrity. And he would always, always say, this is about our country. It's not just about self-love. And you need to do something more than just things like wealth and celebrity. There is a bigger world out there. There's something more there. And I think that was his biggest problem with Donald Trump.
Scott McKay, in your view, what will be Senator John McCain's legacy?
I think he's going to go down as a happy warrior, a great American, someone to be looked up to, and a wonderful, wonderful person. Just someone with a great family, a man who devoted to his country. Not only did his father and grandfather serve the country in the military, his son went to Annapolis following in his footsteps. He had another son serving in Afghanistan. He's a believer in those old values that we like to link up with the greatest generation, which means that those who derive the benefits of our society ought to be there to defend it if it has to be defended. And I think that's the kind of legacy that John McCain leaves for all of us.
Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay, thanks for sharing your memories of Republican Senator John McCain, who passed away over the weekend from brain cancer at the age of 81.
Thank you, Liz.